welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Well, today I have back on the show my good friend Jason Cole, and we're going to talk about a topic that is near and dear to both of our hearts, and that is approaching the net in your singles play. We tried hard to get everything in to the show today as far as what we wanted to cover on this topic, but we went over time anyway, and so I'm just going to go ahead and get right to it. Sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction.
And now, it's time for Essential Tennis Q&A.
Hi, Jason. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, man. Always good to be here.
Yeah, well, we've gotten some great feedback from the first couple of podcasts that we did together. I think you and I work well together answering questions, and I'm sure I'll continue having you back, especially when it comes to topics like our topic today, where I know you and I both have kind of a similar mindset to our own tennis games. Our question today has to do with coming to the net, and I know that's something that you love to do, isn't it?
I certainly did.
Well, let's go ahead and get started on today's question. It comes to us from Ben in Canada, and he's a 3.5 level player. He wrote to me about a week or two ago and said, "Hi, I've been listening to lots of your podcasts during a road trip I had this weekend. And in lots of them, you talk about how good players have the ability to follow their good shot into the net and finish the points. I think it would be interesting to talk about approaching the net. More specifically, talk about what criteria makes a good or bad approach shot in singles. For example, is it better to come in on a cross-court shot and cheat on a specific side of the court, or come in on a down-the-line shot instead? Also, where should we position ourselves when coming to the net? Should we try to get as close as possible to the net or somewhere in between? And where is the best place to be to cut off an angle, etc.? Thank you." That's a great question, Ben. And yes, you're absolutely right. I'm a huge advocate of people getting comfortable at the net really as early and as soon as possible. If you're working on your tennis game and you're a beginner player or an intermediate level player, oftentimes the net is a place where people don't really spend a lot of time getting comfortable, and I think that's a shame at the club level. And I often do encourage my students, especially in my teaching, to get comfortable as soon as possible up there. Jason, what about you? In your teaching, how do you usually split up your time between ground strokes and volleys in general for Ben's level of play?
Well, you know, in singles it's certainly different than doubles, but I pretty much get people the net. You know, as your ground strokes improve, you have to be able to finish out a point.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, as you improve your game, there's no better way to do it than the net. There's really no other way to do it than net.
Yeah, I agree. It just complements a good baseline game. It's just complemented so well in singles by a good net game, as both of us just mentioned, being able to finish the points. The closer you get to your opponent, the easier that is to do technically and also practically. The closer you get, the less time they have to react to your shot. So getting comfortable up there is huge. Well, let's start off just by kind of introducing this topic. I would like to start off, and Jason, definitely tell me your thoughts here too. Jason and I just spent a couple minutes talking about this topic before we started recording, and in my opinion, approaching in singles especially, it's really an art form, and it's something that takes a lot of practice, and after a while you kind of start to build a sixth sense about it, when you should come in and where you need to put yourself. But it's a difficult thing. It's a timing thing, it's a feel thing, and it's not easy, but it's definitely worth working on, like we said. Jay, how do you feel about coming in general? Is it I know for some people it's easier than others. What do you think?
Well, in art forms, way to put it, so often at lower levels of tennis, players get a short ball and they want to blast it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've really got to find a way to feel the right pace, the right location of the ball, not necessarily just hitting it really hard somewhere. You know, I always find myself telling people it's an approach shot, not a winner.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think a lot of times when players are first starting off to try to learn this, they feel like if they don't immediately win the point, they've kind of failed, and they feel really rushed to come in and kind of hit the perfect approach shot and then hit the perfect volley, and that's the only way they're going to win the point. If you're a 3.0 or a 3.5 level player, or even a little bit above that, don't feel like you have to make this perfect. Like Jason just said, it doesn't have to be a 100-mile-an-hour forehand in order to be an effective approach shot. And we're going to talk about that coming right up here. We're gonna split this up into three different topics, and these topics are going to answer all your questions, Ben. Our three topics are going to be when to come into the net in your singles play. We're going to talk about where to aim your approach shot, and we're also going to talk about where to stand, where to position yourself on the courts as you make your way in towards the net after your approach shot. So let's talk about when to come in first. And I have three different topics down here, three different ways that coming into the net is going to be a benefit to you. Let's talk about the first one, Jason. And the first one I had down was when you've received a short ball and you're moving forwards anyway. You've gotten a shot that's weak, most likely because you've hit your opponent a pretty good ground stroke, and your momentum is already carrying forwards anyway. I think that's probably the number one time that people are going to want to approach in singles. What do you think?
Absolutely. Well, when we find ourselves hopefully stepping into every ground stroke that we're hitting, and you know, after a series of balls, you notice that you're stepping into a ball and you're a yard and a half inside the baseline, then it's definitely time to step into one and follow it.
Yeah, I agree. So in teaching ground strokes in general, you have people transferring their momentum into the shot as much as possible?
Oh, every ball. Well, not only transferring their momentum in, but also stepping in to take it early rather than waiting for the ball to drop and come down and
sure.
Just sitting comfortably 5 yards behind the baseline. Get up there and take it early.
Yeah, definitely. So that's situation number one. You've got a short ball and you're having to move forwards anyway. So, and this is something that I see pretty often at a lower level of play, 2.5 or 3.0. Unfortunately, even sometimes in doubles, where somebody will get a short ball and they have to move forwards to get it, or else it's going to bounce twice before it gets to them. They'll move in well into no man's land, hit their ground stroke, and then run right back again to the baseline. And I immediately slap myself on the forehead and just think, oh, crap, what are you doing? That's a golden opportunity. And I know that it was the person did that because they don't like the net. But Jason and I both want to encourage you guys, whenever you have that opportunity, when you feel yourself moving towards the net, take full advantage of it and move in right away. Anything else to add to that, Jay?
I just think your forehead must be sore because I see that happen all the time.
I know, it's terrible.
I'd rather like eat a piece of pizza every time I saw that happen or something.
That would be more enjoyable, yes.
Your pain threshold must be high.
It is. So you see that pretty often too?
Yeah, all the time. Especially in singles because they can kind of get away with it. You know,
sure.
In doubles, most people have at least been yelled at enough that they know they've got to get their way up to net. But in singles, you know, they can kind of usually squeeze themselves out of it by getting back there, so they don't really see what they're missing.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so that's opportunity number one. You've gotten a short ball anyway. You're already moving forwards, so do yourself a favor and keep on moving in. Situation number two, when you're going to want to come in, or at least this is another opportunity that you have to come in, is when you've hit a great shot and your opponent is obviously going to be having a hard time returning it in general. They're going to be out of position. Maybe you've hit a good angled shot off the court, or maybe a deep shot, and they're scrambling back behind the baseline, and it's clear that they're going to have a hard time returning it in general. That's a great time for you to just move right in as soon as you identify that they're going to be having a tough time with the shot. And this is kind of a sneak play You're doing it after you've hit your ground stroke and before they've even hit theirs, because you're anticipating a weak reply. What do you think about that one, Jason?
Well, yeah, this is tough to do. You've really got to be paying attention with what you're doing, because we know that we can't hit exactly where we're trying to hit all the time. So it happens frequently that you accidentally hit a really good shot that's going to hurt somebody. And if you can notice when that ball comes off your racket that you've just done that, which, like I said, happens all the time, then you can take a few steps and really take advantage of it. The problem is, as you're learning that, usually people don't notice until your opponent hits a bad shot back, and then you only get two steps inside the baseline, and
right.
and you really haven't helped yourself. So you've got to be really cognizant of what's going on. Take advantage.
Yeah, I agree. And this is, you know, we talked just a few minutes ago about this kind of being an art form. And this is one of those things where, and unless you're, like Jason said, unless you're purposefully really paying attention to it at first, you're not, this is not something you're going to realize or notice is occurring until after they've already hit their weak shot. And at that point, you probably, you still have a good opportunity there to move in and take over the net. But, if you have a little bit of foresight and a little bit of experience in noticing how good of a shot that you've actually hit, you can actually move in before their weak shot has even been touched, before they've even started to hit that weak shot back. I mean, you can actually take their weak shot right out of the air instead of allowing it to bounce and then move in afterwards. This is one of my favorite plays. And like Jason said, also, sometimes you'll even hit a great shot on accident. You were obviously not trying to hit a weak ball, but it ends up being even better than you had hoped. Or even sometimes, Jason, a particularly satisfying one for me is maybe I'll accidentally shank a forehand, and you'll get one of those really high, heavy topspin balls, like a foot from the baseline. That's a great time to just move right in and just take over the net. It'll annoy them to no end, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the better players are doing this consistently.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you're in a ground stroke rally, I'm aiming 2 yards inside the baseline, 2 yards inside the sideline. I missed my target by 2 yards, and it hits right on the sideline. No, my opponent's hurting. I can move in, take advantage. I don't have to play any more ground strokes. So, yeah, I mean, if you're aware, those opportunities are coming up every other point.
Just definitely. Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move on to our third main situation where you guys will have an opportunity to move in. And this one's a little more obvious. This is probably the most, probably the second most obvious of the three. Receiving the weak short shot is definitely the most obvious. The third one I have written down is when your opponent has a weak side or weak ground strokes in general and just very little confidence. Maybe their backhand is just bad compared to their forehand. They just don't like to hit it, and it's obvious. They're trying to run around it. They'll just push it back into play or hit slice all day long. It's not a particularly strong shot. As soon as you see that you've hit to that weak side, just go ahead and move right in. Kind of the same thing as identifying when you've hit a really great shot, except this time it's more that your opponent just is too weak on one side or the other, and you can just go ahead and really pressure them and make them have to try to hit a good shot, even though they really don't have the skills to do it. Any comments on that, Jason?
Yeah, this is really common at a club level. I don't think most people see it because they aren't looking for it, but you see all the time where somebody has a good forehand, they have a good backhand, but their backhand can't really get any angle, and it can't really be that accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Their forehand, they can do whatever they want with.
Right.
You don't notice it if you're at the baseline because they make backhands and you just see the ball going in. But, you know, if you can figure this out, there's all kinds of club-level players out there who can't pass at all on the backhand side. You know, if you can figure this out, once you realize you've got a ball over there, just take advantage.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's a really good point, that a lot of club-level players see the ball coming just back in play in general, you know, maybe 2-3 times in a row off the backhand side, and they just assume, well, it can't be that bad because it's going back in play. But in reality, their technique is not anywhere close to good enough that they could actually hit a passing shot, like Jason was saying, which takes exceptionally more pace and maybe even some topspin to keep it in play, and also accuracy to be able to hit an angle or right down the line to hit a passing shot. It takes significantly more skill than just pushing the ball in play and just putting it in general. There's a big difference between those two types of shots. And so moving in is going to really pressure that shot, and you'll find out very quickly exactly how comfortable they are trying to hit a passing shot. Anything else to add there, Jay, before we move on?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of club-level players have pretty flat strokes, and I know we'll talk about this just a little bit later on, but if I see somebody going back with a relatively continental grip or flat backhand, I'm just going to approach, camp on the line, and when they hit it there, destroy it. You know, yeah. You can't hit a topspin rolling pass without topspin.
So, good observation. I agree.
Good opportunity there.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, let's move on to where to aim. Yes, just moving forwards in general, it's a good skill. It's a good thing to be confident with. But if you don't place your approach shot well, if you don't hit an appropriate shot, you're going to be a sitting duck at the net. And so where to aim and what type of shot to hit are extremely important. And Ben, in his question, asked about this. Do you go cross court? Do you go down the line? What's the best thing to do? And this is tricky, guys. There's going to be some generalities that Jason and I are going to go over, but a lot of this is going to be determined ultimately by the point situation and what your opponent is good at and what they're not that great at. The biggest point that Jason and I want to make is that when you do come to the net, you must, no matter where you're aiming, you've got to challenge your opponent with your approach shot at least a little bit. And this is kind of a tricky thing because we don't want you guys just absolutely feeling like you have to just crush the ball and hit it as hard as you can. But on the other hand, you don't want to give them just any old shot and come into the net because you're not going to have enough time to react to their good passing shot if they've got plenty of time to set up. So, Jason, what do you think our main criteria, when we say we want to challenge them, what does that mean exactly?
Well, I always, to challenge them, you are challenging them when you come in, for one. You're putting pressure on, and everybody feels it. Some people are good at handling that and actually enjoy passing. Other people just collapse. But you're putting pressure on when you come in. Now, I'm always of the theory of this is an approach shot. It's not a winner. You know, you're not trying to hit a winner. You're setting up for a volley. So I always aim at least a yard and a half in.
Sure.
If I'm right on top of the net hitting a really easy shot, maybe just a yard in. But I'm never aiming closer to the line than that.
So their number one mindset or their number one thing they should be thinking of as they're moving in is that, guys, you're trying to set yourselves up. And don't feel like you have to hit a winner. You don't. In fact, you shouldn't be trying to most of the time. We're trying to set up a volley so that we can finish the point. Don't go for broke or else you'll probably end up making more mistakes than you do earn points by coming into the net. So give yourself good margin for error. But that being said, we and yes, Jason, you're absolutely correct. Obviously, just your presence up there challenges your opponent because they feel pressure to have to hit a good shot, and they do, or else you're going to put the ball away. So yes, that's challenging. But let's talk about cross court, down the line, or very depths of shot also, as far as actually making them have to move to get to the ball and challenging them as far as not giving them an easy shot to hit a passing shot with. And Jason and I talked about this a little bit before we started recording, and we're going to give you guys a general thought or play to start with, and then you'll have to go from there and see what happens and see what your opponent likes to do most. But in general, in singles, down the line is going to be an easier shot to cover passing shots with. If you aim down the line with your approach shot, it's going to be a little bit easier for you to set up to cover a pass. What do you think, Jason? Down the line versus cross court, which is going to be better?
Down the line all the time.
Nice.
There's very few situations, and I know we'll talk about them in just a minute here, but very few situations, in my opinion, where you should be going anywhere other than down the line.
Okay, I agree. Well, let's talk about why. Let's say that we get a weak shot. We're moving forwards. Let's say it bounces right on the tee, the cross between the service line and the center service line, right in the middle of the court, and you have a forehand, and we have an equal opportunity. Let's say we're right-handed, and so we're positioned a little over to the left because we're hitting a forehand shot, and we have the choice to either hit inside out and hit cross court over to the ad side of the court to our opponents, or we can hit that shot down the line right in front of us because we're over a little bit on the left side of the court. Why is it that hitting cross court is going to be so much worse than down the line?
Well, that's a tricky situation there. The one you've set up, I'm glad we're right-handed, by the way. That's the correct hand to use. But
yes.
If you're hitting that ball, maybe that person's backhand is worse. So if you're right in the middle of the court, you do have a little bit of option. However, you know, if you pull that ball down the line, pull it, not push it cross court inside out, you've simply got to move about 10 steps less to be in the right position.
Right.
So the matter is how hard you want to hit the ball. If I want to rip this ball, then the time it takes for it to travel to my opponent's racket and then from my opponent's racket somewhere onto my side is pretty quick. And that's going by pretty fast. So I need to be split-stepped and in the right position before he ever touches that ball.
Right.
So hopefully that better not be very many steps. Otherwise, I have a problem. If I rip it cross court, inside out, then you've got to take, like I said, six, you know, cover eight more feet, however many steps that might be for you. You know, you need some more time for that.
Right. So basically, guys, when you hit down the line, the ball is staying in front of you, and you're not going to have to cross all the way over to the other half of the court in order to effectively cover your side of the court. When you hit to either the right or left half of the court, and we'll get to positioning in a second, but you're going to want to put yourself over on that side in order to cover the next shot, which is going to be a passing shot attempt by your opponent. So in hitting cross court, you just have a lot more court to cover. But as Jason said, before the ball gets to your opponent and they're actually hitting their passing shot. So we don't want to cut time away from ourselves. We want to be able to cover the court effectively. So very often down the line is going to be the better choice. In fact, most of the time, Jason and I both in our teaching would probably yell at you for approaching cross court unless you hit a heck of a shot. Hitting cross court is really not a good idea. Anything else on that, Jay, before we move on?
Well, no. I just like to point out it also matters how far back in the court you are. You know,
yeah,
if you're right inside the service line, then you don't have that far to move. If you're behind the service line hitting an approach shot, which, you know, I do all the time, it's very reasonable to do that. You know, again, you can't make up that extra 8 feet. You've already got to move a long way.
Right.
So,
I agree.
Again, down the line.
So, when comparing down the line and cross court, down the line is almost always going to be a better play. Let's talk about hitting down the middle. Is down the middle a bad choice, Jay?
Not at all. It's again, a situational choice, but in most situations, I like that a lot better than hitting cross court.
Yeah, I agree.
In fact, in the example that you displayed before where you're hitting a forehand, you're a right-hander hitting a forehand from right on the tee, if you hit that ball straight down the middle, for one, you know your opponent's going to be there, so you don't have to hit it great because he's there anyway. But he really has no angles to pass you with. You know, if you're playing somebody who's great at hitting approach shot, has great rolling angles, can hit down the line, well, you hit that ball down the middle and you're taking away a lot of his options.
Well, let's talk about that option and kind of general levels of play. Yeah, we actually see the pros do that, hitting hard down the middle and coming right in behind it, because oftentimes the pros love to hit on the run, and it gives them opportunity to angle the ball. As Jason just pointed out, hitting down the middle takes away the opportunity to hit a big angle from one side of the court to the other. But Jason, what's your opinion on, let's say, for Ben's level of play specifically, a 3-5 level opponent where they probably don't have a big weapon. Are we going to be better off, do you think, hitting down the line and getting them over to one side of the courts, or is down the middle still a good play?
Well, I would say hitting down the line, if you're set up and capable of doing it, would be better. Okay. You know, again, the number one thing is making the ball. So if you're hitting down the middle because you're stretched out or late getting there or something like that, or you don't think you can move very fast, then maybe that's viable. But, yeah, certainly I would say hitting down the line in that situation for that level of the player is almost always better.
Okay. All right, sounds good. So in general, for a 3-5 level play, I'm sorry, a 3.5 level player, in general, our choices in order of how good they are as far as approach shot is probably going to be down the line, is probably going to be your best bet, assuming that you're in good position and you can make it reliably, as Jason said. And after that comes down the middle, and last on the list is cross courts, because it leaves you vulnerable to much easier passing shots. All right, let's go to our last topic, which is going to be where to stand, how to position yourself. And again, this is going to be somewhat situational, but we're going to have a general rule of thumb to follow, at least at first, and then you can kind of feel out the match from there. In general, after you guys have hit your approach shot, you should be shading towards the side of the court that you hit to. So if you get a, let's say, a backhand, a short backhand, you're right-handed and you're moving forwards over on the left side of the court to hit your backhand. And if you do approach down the line, you should be staying slightly on that half of the court on the left side to most effectively cover your side of the court against a passing shot attempt. Jason, you want to go over the reason why we want to stay on the side of the ball?
Sure. Well, this is, again, you know, a template, as Ian said.
Yeah.
You would stay on that on the left side of the center line to cover that ball, because if they hit down the line to pass you, which would be down that left line, past your backhand side, you should be at the distance where within a step and a half you can cover it. Assuming you get yourself into the proper distance from the net, you should, within a step and a half at an angle towards the net strap, be able to cover your cross court as well. If you make your way all the way to the center line, you can't cover that down the line ball in a step and a half, unless you're 8 feet tall.
Right. And it's worth pointing out that, in general, as your opponent is going to cover that down the line shot, it's going to over to their forehand corner, over to the left, assuming they're right-handed. In general, hitting down the line for them is probably going to be the easiest passing shot for them. Pulling it at a sharp angle cross court to pass you is going to be a very difficult shot, especially at a 3.5 level player. If you're a 5-0 level player, it's certainly not outside of the realm of what's possible, but it's still technically the most difficult shot to hit, as opposed to just blocking it straight ahead down the line. So we want to cover down the line. We want to cover, obviously, the middle of the court. From that position Jason was talking about, just a little bit to the left of the center service line, if we take one step over to the right, we can very easily cover a cross court shot as well. The only one we're really leaving open is a very sharp cross court angle that's going to have to bounce well inside the service line in order to pass us cleanly. And that's by far the toughest passing shot for our opponent to hit. Now, this is where paying attention has to come into play. It's possible your opponent will love that shot. And once they hit it two or three times in a row, you're going to have to start altering your strategy now in order to account for that. Isn't that right, Jay?
Absolutely. Yeah, a couple things here. One, when you're covering down the line, the down-the-line pass, you can pretty much get away with taking a step sideways. You should be going towards the net, mm-hmm. but it's not going to hurt you too much if you're taking that step sideways. If you're covering a cross-court pass, you need to move at a diagonal towards the net. If you move sideways, you're really hindering your court coverage there.
And, that's a great point.
That would almost render our court positioning useless if you go straight sideways. So definitely try to avoid that.
I agree. Did you have something else to add there, too? Did you have something else to add there, too?
Well, I was just going to say, I guess that's a net coverage than approach shots, but if you find yourself getting past cross court all the time, while doing what we've been talking about approaching. That's probably why.
Okay. Well, we're already over time here. We could probably talk about 3 hours about coming up to the net. But let's real quickly discuss Ben's last question. And guys, as you're listening to this, if you have any further in-depth questions having to do with any of these topics, write me, post in the forums, and we'll be happy to help you guys further. There's a lot of subtleties and nuances that occur throughout these point situations, and we could go further in depth, but we want to give you guys a good blueprint, at least to start off, and what you guys should be doing in approaching the net in your singles play. The last thing I want to cover with Jason here, and we'll wrap up, is how close into the net should we get? Jason, what's your opinion on that?
Well, again, really situational. You got to know what your opponent's doing. Like everything else, if it's somebody who really likes to lob, then what I'm going to say is maybe not necessarily accurate, but assuming that he's not somebody who's a lob machine, then I would say get as close as you can off that first ball.
Yeah.
Most of the time, people aren't looking to lob off of your approach. Now, if you hit a really great approach and you have somebody dead on the run, maybe they have to lob. That's their only choice. But if they're there and ready to swing at a ball, not too many players are lobbing that very first pass. So get up there.
Yeah. And guys, the closer you get to the net, the easier your ensuing volley is going to be. You're going to have a better angle hitting over to your opponent's side. You'll have more opportunities as far as angling the ball right or left, because it's just an easier volley to hit. Also, more often you'll get a higher volley instead of a lower one. If you stay back at the service line, then it's very easy for your opponent to hit a shot down at your feet. So getting close in order to receive a volley in general is a great thing to do. Now, as Jason said, pay close attention. If they love to lob, or if when they're pulled out wide and really in a tough situation, it's very possible they will lob, and you need to vary your strategy according to what your opponent is doing. If they always lob the first time, then obviously we don't want you guys running straight up into the net. That would be stupid. Don't run right underneath the ball. Make sure that you know how to split step and you're getting yourself balanced and not running straight in if they do tend to lob a lot. And that's the type of thing you're just going to have to really pay close attention to yourself and vary your strategy accordingly. But in general, getting close is great. It's what we want you guys to get good at. All right, anything else to add, Jason, on any of this stuff before we wrap up?
Yeah, well, just a quick point.
Yeah.
Hey, with what you were saying, the split step is incredibly important.
Yeah, it is.
No matter how close you're getting, if you don't split step, you're really going to find trouble. You're going to get beat easily by anything that just doesn't come right to you, which
sure.
is obviously a problem. And that being said, I don't think I've ever taught or seen anybody who got too close to the net on their very first ball.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So I think, you know, if you're someone sitting at home thinking, well, you know, I hit the approach, maybe I was too close. Yeah, that doesn't really happen. Unless you're playing that one out of a million person who just loves to lob the first ball.
Right. No,
which,
you know
like
what?
That is really rare.
That's a great point, actually. And I would have to concur. I can't say that I can think of any student that hit their approach shot and got too close to the net immediately. I would definitely agree with that. And adding that along with the fact that not a lot of people are just going to immediately lob right away, you guys probably are not going to err on the side of getting too close, unless it means that you have just skipped your split step. And that's a vital part of this process, as Jason just pointed out. All right, well, that's going to do it for today. It took up a lot of time very quickly, and Jason, as always, time flies by very quickly when we're speaking about tennis, and I think today's show is really going to be a great help to everybody who's trying to build up a more confident net game and trying to find the ways to get to the net more effectively. Thanks a lot for spending time with us and going over this topic. It's been great. All right, that puts the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 52 in the books. Thank you so much for joining me today, myself and Jason, and listening to the show. Thank you for supporting myself and the podcast by downloading the file. during the week. If you have any further questions about your tennis game, feel free to come by essentialtennis.com, where we have message boards where you can post questions, and Jason answers questions there as well. And we would really love to see you there participating along with the rest of the community. All right, that does it for this week. Take care, everybody, and good luck with your tennis.